Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. Get ready, Terp fans, because it's time for the Maryland Matt Chat. Join us as we talk Terp wrestling with head coach Kerry McCoy and staff. Now, on to the show with your host, three-time National Wrestling Writer and Broadcaster of the Year, Jason Bryant.
Episode 18 of the Maryland Matt Chat. Wrestling season's here. The University of Maryland Terrapin Wrestling Squad has had its wrestle-offs or its inter-squad match. And then, of course, we kick off wrestling season November 1st. Terrapin Duels wrestling Pitt, Buffalo, and Davidson. Before we get to this weekend's upcoming action, I want to talk a little bit about the weekend with Coach Kerry McCoy. Kerry, the Red-Black Wrestle-Offs, this inter-squad concept has really started to kind of sweep the Division I landscape. There's a lot of teams doing it now. It used to be, you know, a ranking match here and there. Of course, when you were at Lehigh, you know, they were doing it. Oklahoma State's done it for years. But this is something that's really, a lot of the D1 teams and even all college teams are adopting it. Why the public intra-squad type of match for the University of Maryland?
Well, there's a couple of reasons behind it. Probably the biggest thing is to show our guys off to the public. You know, it's the first chance they get to see the guys that will be representing, you know, some or all the guys that will be representing the team this year. So it's good for the fans to come out and see what we're working with. Right along with that is the opportunity for the guys to get experience, put the singlet on, be in front of the crowd, be in front of an official, you know, dealing with the new rules and regulations. And, you know, we do it in practice, but to actually do it in a real live-er situation, I mean, it's not anything that gets recorded. Doesn't go on to seating or anything like that, but, you know, live situation where they're in front of the main crowd, in front of the referee, to give them those butterflies and get those jitters out so they can do it. The other thing, too, is we haven't get down the weight, you know, so it's the first time they get down the weight, they won't be, or the first time they compete, it's not their first time getting down the weight. So, you know, so there's a lot of things where it's all practice for the end of the year, but it's an opportunity to showcase our team and get those guys ready for what to expect during the year.
The wrestle-off or inter-squad, you know, part of a bigger weekend, basically a kickoff weekend of sorts with alumni functions, socials, and meet and greets and a banquet there at Heritage Hall. So basically, let's recap that weekend. How did things go for you? How did things go for the alumni? And how did things go basically for the program as a whole?
I think it was a good weekend. We saw some guys that went out there, were fired up about competing. We saw some guys that, you know, showed some areas that we have to improve on, and it's just like you do when you go to practice. You see some good things, see some things that need to improve on, and you get back to work at the next day. So we're excited to get back in the room and work there. We had a great crowd, you know, one of the bigger crowds that we've ever had to come watch a wrestle-off. So that was pretty exciting. And then our kickoff banquet, had a bunch of people come up there, you know, over 100 so people that showed up to get us officially started with the season. The wrestle-offs is the signature event, and the kickoff banquet kind of wraps it up for the weekend. On Saturday, we had some alums come back, watch practice. We had open practice. We had alums come in the room and watch, and then had a little social to get to interact and bond with some guys that hadn't been back in a while and some guys that are around a lot. Then we had our open practice on Friday. We had a lot of fans and family come in. So it was a good weekend, great way to start our season and, you know, really get our guys fired up and be ready for the next coming months.
A lot of these schools are having open practices before football games outside. I mean, you've seen it. You know, it's still warm most places right now, and it's still football season, even though it's not really warm up here. You're seeing these out. You know, seeing places take it outside to expose people to the sport of wrestling. When it comes to like an open practice, I mean, what is the practice plan like? Because I mean, are you putting them through the exact same type of practice, or is it more conditioned to people that might not be familiar with wrestling, or is it something that's just like, all right, we'll just run a lighter practice today?
No, we run a regular practice. I think the biggest thing is to get the fans an opportunity to come in and see what the guys are doing and see how hard they're working. We make it a little bit of adjustment so the fans get to see a little bit more of the guys' activity. You know, they don't want to necessarily come in and watch the coaches teach for an hour and a half, but they want to see the guys drill. They want to see the guys wrestle. So put them in different situations. But it's part of the whole design. I mean, we basically design our practice plan for the year and just happen to open it up on those days that we have the fans and public are allowed to come in. So not a huge difference, not a huge change. But, again, the guys tend to – they get excited when people are coming in the room and get them that little bit of that nerves, just like they would in competition, that some people are watching a little bit more. And some guys, you know, it's just fun. Mom and dad come in, aunt and uncle, grandma, grandpa come in and watch, and they like them to be around. So it serves a lot of purposes. And you know, realistically – our ultimate goal is to get ready for March, so we don't adjust for too many things. But it's always nice to have something that little add a little extra excitement in the room that day.
As far as the Black wins 18-9, wrestled 8 matches. And as far as the team score goes, you had about 5 exhibition bouts. What was the difference between two? Obviously, you had a straight dual meet with the weight classes. Were the exhibition just kind of extra bouts, or you know, how did you decide to size those wrestlers up and match them up against one another?
Kind of a combination of things. We like to showcase as many guys as we can to get out there and perform. We had our challenge matches last week to kind of set up the ranking and who was going to face who. We had a couple of injuries during those challenge matches, so some of the guys didn't get a chance to wrestle then, so it was an opportunity for them to get up and get their match during the exhibition. We had a couple of injured guys that were out of the lineup, so that allowed us to get a few more matches in where, you know, typically you don't want to have people sit in the gym for 4 hours watching matches. So, you know, we got an opportunity to sub one or two matches in and out for the injured guys, so bunch of combination of things and how we get to there. Ultimately, it's an opportunity for those guys to practice whatever the routines they need to do to get ready to compete. And, you know, some of the matches had a little bit more weight than others. You know, obviously we have an inner squad and it's going to set our rankings. So, you know, some of the weight classes, we really need to see how this guy's going to do against its eye in competition, because in the wrestling room, you know, they've been pretty even. So let's see what they do with the referee in the singlet. Some of the guys just get them a chance to expose themselves to that atmosphere, knowing that they're probably not going to compete right away. You know, we'll give them a little bit of time to get their feet under them. So just really on a case-by-case basis on what was going to help the guys be ready for later on.
Now, seeing these guys in match shape for the first time, looking back at last year's inner squad versus this year's, who do you think's made the most progress from last year at this exact point to this year as we had the first opening weekend?
That's a good question. You know, I'd say one of the guys that's really done a great job, and you know, as far as coming back from last year, is Tyler Goodwin. You know, just all around, top to bottom, he's really stepped up his game. And, you know, has become a more of a vocal voice, you know, as a leader in our team. And his work ethic has increased a bit. And, you know, he didn't get a chance to wrestle against Jeffrey Alexander this weekend, but he went out there and he wrestled one of our really good freshmen, Nick Casella, and really went after him, scored a lot of points on his feet, on the mat, you know, really got after him and put on a show. So it was exciting to see him go out there and open up and not to try and keep a match close. So I'd say probably, you know, as far as year to year, that was a good showing. We had another guy that's a returner, Mark Calabucci, who's, you know, fifth year senior, transferred halfway in last year. So he missed the wrestle off last year, but came in and just getting the transition of being from one school and getting his feet on solid ground here at Maryland, and had a chance, wrestled a pretty good freshman, Jaron Smith, who's a 2-time Maryland state champ, and, you know, went out there and just kind of opened up. You know, went out there, scored some points on his feet, got some takedowns, got some turns, and you know, really showed that he's ready to compete at this level. So we still got some areas that we need to work on with him, but you know, some of the matches he had last year, he didn't perform as well, just, you know, maybe the nerves or still getting used to being here. But now he's got almost a full year under his belt here and working in our system. He showed a good bit. So excited for those guys as well as all the other guys. I mean, we got some freshmen, we got some upperclassmen, good combination of experience and opportunities. So I'll just keep on building from here.
So the guys that won the bouts on the in the red black match, those are the guys that are going to get primary go right there at the first weekend at the Terrapin Duels against Pitt, Buffalo, and Davidson. You got to, like you said last episode, keep a few more guys out and mix and match.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again with our freshmen, we've got to evaluate and see if they're going to use this year, if they're going to look to redshirt. I know two of the freshmen that competed and won on Sunday, Wade Hodges and Brendan Burnham, have expressed the desire to compete this year and are excited about getting in the Big Ten competition and fighting for some mat time and an opportunity to compete at the end of the year. So those guys are probably the higher probability of being able to compete this year. You know, guys like Nick Casello is a freshman, and you know, he's got Jeff Alexander and you got Tyler Goodwin there in front of him, and you know, those guys are a pretty good 1-2 punch. So Nick would, right now, probably leaning towards redshirting him. Jacob Restrepo won his match. It was the close match with redshirt freshman Patrick Garrish. And we have Lou Mascola at that weight at 157. So, you know, we'll see how the probably hold Jake out this weekend. Lou and Patrick will be the guys getting ready for the Terrapin Duels. And then we got the Binghamton Open next year and see how that goes and decide. So, you know, that's one group of freshmen that are ready to go, and one group of freshmen that will probably pull back, and then we got a few other guys that are kind of in the middle here, and we're going to see how this week goes and make the decision. But you know, at the weight class that got competed, 25, both those guys will be in the mix. You know, they've gone back and forth in the practice room and had a good match there on Sunday. Except 33, you got Tyler and Jeff. 41, we got Bannister and Rappo. Bannister won the match. It was a good match. Billy went out there and gave him everything he wanted. 49, Wade Hodges and Matt Pente both will be in the mix. Wade being the front runner as a true freshman. 57 will be Lou Mascola and Pat Garrish. 65, we got Tyler Mannion in there. Brendan Burnham won the wrestle off, and then Derek Ivanovich. So we got those three guys that are going to be figuring out whether or not, you know, we use Brendan or not. It's we'll see how the week goes. And then 74, Josh Nook. He's a guy that was the returner from last year. He's, you know, recovering from some injuries, but he's going to be in that mix. And then 84, 97 heavyweight are returning guys with Mark Colabucci, Garrett Wisniewski, and Dawson Peck. And then Sean Twigg is going to be in the mix there as a 97-pounder. He's making the drop from heavyweight. So, you know, as he gets his weight normalized and he can feel comfortable training at a good competitive weight, we're ready to get him excited, get him in and see what he can do.
Yeah, the one result I think that probably kind of opened my eyes about it the most was Brendan Burnham. I don't know much about him. What's a little, you know, give the fans a little bit of background on Brendan Burnham.
So Brendan comes from Pine Richland High School out in western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area. Really good kid, hard worker. He placed in the state as a sophomore, then he got injured his junior year, didn't get a chance to compete at the state tournament. Then his senior year, he had a pretty good year. He was on a state runner-up football team. And wrestle state tournament had pretty good bunch of guys around him. I think, you know, just coming out of WPIL, I think the top four guys in the WPILs were, you know, three of the top four guys were top three in the state, top four in the state, and you know, he just happened to be that fourth guy and lost to another guy and got to the state tournament, had some close matches. So he's been working hard, staying healthy, getting back from some injuries, and you know, just wants to be good and wants to be better and keeps working. So I'm excited that he's here. He's pushing the older guys in his weight class to get better.
Yeah, not quite one of those Rudy-esque type of stories, but a guy that had a pretty good career, but he's just in a rugged wrestling area. Of course, those that know wrestling, the Western Pennsylvania region, the WPIL, as you said, that's, you know, there's hammers that come out of there that don't have an opportunity. I mean, to win state championships. So you know, that makes his backstory that much more interesting when he develops there for your program.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, you can look at a whole bunch of different people throughout the years that may not have won state championships, may not have placed in state tournaments, but the hunger and their drive and their desire to be the best has pushed them. They had great college careers. So, you know, we expect big things out of Brendan from the next couple of years. And you know, the biggest thing is that he just has that attitude of, you know, just go all in and, you know, do the best you can do. And he's getting better every day.
Notice we didn't get to see the Redwoods wrestle with Dawson Peck and Yusuf Hamida. That's, you know, two guys of very big stature. I mean, so we're going to see, obviously, you mentioned that you're going to see Dawson this weekend. But, how is Yusuf, the active heavyweight from New York, doing with the gargantuan Dawson Peck?
Well, it's funny. We, we had our banquet and a couple of people walked by and they see Dawson sitting there. Say, like, wait, is this, you know, is he lost? He's supposed to be down at basketball practice. You know, he's 6'8", and then Yusuf is 6'5". So, you know, you don't see typically those type of body types on a wrestling mat. So when they get after it, I mean, Dawson's definitely got a few years of experience on him, and he's, a little bit ahead of him. But Yusuf is one of the hardest working guys we have, and he just wants to get better every day and can take this year of experience and continue to grow and push himself. And I'm excited for when he gets in competition because he's getting pushed pretty tough in our room. We've got a lot of guys that are, around his weight that really make him work hard. So when he gets an opportunity to go and get against some guys that may not know him as well and may not be able to avoid some of the things that he does, it's going to be fun to see what he can do at this level. But he's improving every day.
So already this week, we've seen Penn State head coach Cale Sanderson make a call to James Franklin to borrow one of the wrestlers with the football players with wrestling experiences. You know, with guys like Peck and Hamid up there, you know, 6'8", 6'5", is the Terps basketball coach Mark Turgeon going to give you a call at any point this year if he needs some frontline help on the defense?
Yeah, I doubt Coach Turgeon would want Dawson out there on the he might be a good person to stand there and pretend like,
hey, he's good for 5 fouls a game.
Yeah. But, his skill level may not be very, very high when it comes to being on the hard court, but he definitely could score a point and a half just by looks. But then again, you know, when you look at the way things are going, especially with our basketball team, we got a few 7-footers out there. So Dawson would be, you know, average size at best. So yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that.
But we know you're not going after 7-footers to fill heavyweight from here on out because you've got 6'8", and then you got 6'5". You're set for a while with the height.
Yeah, for sure. Now we just got to get that depth a little bit.
Now, turning the page a little bit, we'll talk about the Terrapin duels coming up. But before we get to that, with the season here, there's the Terrapin pool. Tell us a little bit about the fundraising there with the Terrapin pool. And I'm putting the emphasis on the pin there for a reason.
Yeah. So a few years ago, some schools, some of the programs started out with basically a pin pool. However many pins you get through the year, you get your fans to make pledges, and throughout the year, as the team accumulates pins, that raises money for the program. So, you know, when a couple teams did it in the past, we kind of caught wind, and we did it a few years ago, and it worked out pretty well. We made a couple bucks here or there to help the program, and you know, kind of faded away for the last year or so, but then decided this year let's bring the pin pool back. Get our guys more engaged, get our fans more engaged, and, you know, put a little bit. One of the saying here we talk about a lot in wrestling is pins mean more, and, you know, getting that bonus point mentality in, and then just also rewarding our program with our fans for getting those extra bonus points. So excited to get it back in. All the information on the pin pool is online at terpswrestling.com, and you can find the information on our website, umterps.com/wrestling, and it'll have a link to the pin pool. So we're really fired up about getting that going again.
Also, speaking of the social media aspect and the website aspect of it, the Twitter handle's been slightly modified. It was UMD Wrestling. Now you can just simply follow them at Terps Wrestling. So at Terps Wrestling, of course, if you're looking for UMD Wrestling, you're not going to find it because it'll be somebody else by this point. But it's at Terps Wrestling started this season. So November 1, kicking off with the Terrapin Duels at the Xfinity Center Pavilion, taking on Pittsburgh at 11:45, Buffalo at 1:30, and Davidson at 3:15. Looking at these matchups on paper, some of your guys are going to get tested right off the bat. Obviously, Pitt spent most of the year last season ranked in the top 10 in terms of dual meets, but they've got some guys coming back. Dom Forese is moving up to 133. He's going to be a strong test right there right off the bat. Mikey Rosciato dropping down to 141 from 149, and this is a funker. This is a very unorthodox type of wrestler that Baby J. Alfred Bannister is going to have right off the bat. Cody Wirchak at 165, Nick Bonacorsi at 197. So the Pitt Panthers strong throughout their lineup, and what are you looking forward to the most from your young guys when it comes to matching up with the Pitt Panthers?
As I talked about before, you know, everything is practice till March. We're trying to get our guys ready for the competition, to be ready to perform at the NCAA tournament. And, you know, no better way to start off with a team that's been very successful in the last couple of years. And they've got some really good guys, national ranked guys. So our guys have to be ready to step out right away. It's kind of, you know, in the international ranks where first round of the Olympics, you can wrestle the number one guy in the world, returning world champ. You know, so you have to be ready right off the bat. So that's really the biggest thing, to make sure our guys are ready, that they got to face top level competition from the start. From there, it's just an opportunity for them to prove themselves that they can compete at a high level. Pittsburgh has been one of the top teams in the country for the last few years. They've had a lot of guys that have been successful. So, you know, when you step out against a guy, you know that you have to be ready. Bannister going out and having to wrestle Ricciardo, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, him down. He was a decent size 49 pounder, so him down to 41. It's going to be interesting to see how he does. But, you know, Bannister definitely up for any challenge. When the lights are on, that's when he performs the best. And, you know, just throughout their lineup, they've got a lot of really good guys that through the years have proven themselves on the high school level, and, you know, a handful have proven themselves on the collegiate level. So every one of our guys have to be ready to step out there and represent. Being at home, you know, in our home gym, and, you know, protecting our home turf is something that our guys are taking pride in. So be ready from the first whistle and go out there and get after it. And, you know, from there, just kind of keep on rolling to the next one.
Then Wrestling Buffalo at 130, John Stutzman returning to his alma mater now in his second year. This was a program that was ineligible for postseason competition last year. They compete in the MAC. They're eligible again. They were dealing with some APR issues with a lot of changeover with the staffs and whatnot. And I'm looking at the Bulls lineup, and pretty much this is a bunch of fresh faces or guys that transferred in with Stutzman from Bloomsburg and redshirted. I mean, guys like Colt Cotton have experience, but then they've got, you know, their upper weights really, really young, really talented. To Jake Gunning at heavyweight, had a great summer. Nathaniel Rose, interesting story, kid from the Bronx, New York, wrestled for Trinidad and Tobago at the World Championships this year as an 18-year-old. So already that kid's got world championship experience. But, you know, when you've obviously known Coach Stutzman for a long time. He's always been a good coach no matter where he's been. This is kind of the start of a new era for Buffalo. What makes them kind of a team to look out for on Sunday?
Just that, I mean, he has his teams always primed and ready to go. Doesn't matter if they're nationally ranked, doesn't matter if they're state champ, doesn't matter if they just, you know, came out for the team. He's always done a great job of having his guys ready to go, especially in the dual meet season. And, you know, similar to say with Pittsburgh, our guys have to be ready to go and be ready for a battle. The teams that Coach Stutzman have coached have always been very tough, very hard-nosed, very disciplined, and, you know, solid competition. So they may not have a ton of experience top to bottom, but they've got guys that have shown that they can have success, and Stutzman's been a guy that's shown that he can get the best out of guys. So we have to be ready for a battle. And, you know, as we talk about a lot in wrestling, we can't take anything for granted. We can't say that, oh, well, this guy's a freshman, or this guy, you know, didn't wrestle last year, because it doesn't matter. You know, they're going to step foot on the mat. They're going to be fired up to wrestle against a Big Ten opponent, and, you know, being at the University of Maryland, and it's exciting for them to be on our campus, exciting for us to have them. You know, a lot of the kids that are on the team are kids that we've recruited, so we kind of know some of the kids there, and, you know, a lot of teams that are our team, you know, they recruited, so it's kind of one of those things that it's just a battle of two teams that want to fight to be at the top.
And finally, things wrap up 3:15 against Davidson College out of Davidson, North Carolina, more known for their basketball program. Bob Patineski, the head coach there, not really traditionally very strong. Matter of fact, last year it was noted that one of their 84-pounder, Scott Patrick, became the first guy to win a match at Nationals since like the late 60s. Looking at their lineup, their roster, at least looking at your best bet is probably going to be a 165 as far as the best match. Adam Flatt, a kid from Georgia, placed in Fargo and Greco, actually made the finals one year. I think he was in cadets. So he's probably their best guy to look at from a matchup standpoint. But this is where these are all D1 matches. These are all matches that are going to count for qualifying and the RPI and the, you know, whatever alphabet soup that is the end of the season. So, you know, all three opportunities to get victories individually and as a dual meet team. So Terrapin Duels coming out on Sunday at the Xfinity Center Pavilion. It starts 11:45 against Pitt. Again, Buffalo 1:30, Davidson at 3:15. And Coach McCoy, as we wrap up episode 18, here's the push. You know, put those pledges down for those pins. Come out on Sunday. It's the start of the college wrestling season.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's funny. We've been talking about it for so long. As it happens every year, you talk about what the expectations are for the year. You talk about what you're trying to accomplish this year. You talk about what you want to get out of the season. And every day you talk about your goals. You talk about what we want to do and how we're getting better. And you find yourself 8 weeks out saying, hey, you know, it'll be here before you know it. 6 weeks out, 4 weeks out, 2 weeks out. And then, you know, now we're 1 week out. And a lot of the guys that got a chance to step on the mat this weekend, they got a little bit of taste. But next weekend, it's really here. So time flies when you're having fun, and we've been having a great time. So we're really looking forward to this coming week, but really for the next 6 months, because you know, this is what we're here to do. This is what we're all about, and let's get after it.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to matttalkonline.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.